brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
You have to notice all the small things or else you will be exposed. Rolling into this senior year, you know, they're the backbone of our team. And, you know, we go as they go. And,
you know, to be honest with you, probably the best thing that happened to us was Buford absolutely destroyed us earlier this year. You know, it was a good thing for us, I think, because it refocused them.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so, large device or small. John here, Hannah there, and it is the business end of the schedule. It is where folks are trying to figure out positioning and placing and region titles and all this kind of stuff, except for one of our guests with a big win, and everything just got put back in the pile.
Yeah, so week 10 saw regions being clinched or regions being slaughtered.
Put in the blender, folks.
So we're catching up with Richmond Hill head coach Matt Lazotte. He's one of the teams responsible for putting Region 1-6A in the blender.
We're talking to you.
So we have him today, and that's actually a really fun interview. We're also talking to Roswell head coach Chris Pruitt to preview their big game on Friday, region championship implications on the line there as well, John. So we've got a great show coming up.
Yep, and we also take the tour and let everybody know what's going on around the state of Georgia, find out what's going on, get you ready for everything going on.
Which regions were clinched?
There are a lot of them that have upcoming matchups late in the season, especially in the higher classifications where you've got teams that are going to be the ones and twos. Give you a couple, obviously, Hillgrove and Harrison, both 5-0. The blender of 1-6A with four teams at 2-1. You're going to have math involved, and we got to figure out what the tiebreakers are. Woodward Academy, Decatur, they're going to be playing this week to determine who's going to be the one and the two in that region.
Would you say this Friday is probably the biggest
biggest
day for region titles?
Yeah, ones and twos. Okay. South Gwinnett, Grayson, Newton, all undefeated. Grayson and Newton, that game got pushed back to the end of the season when everything was slid because of all of the impact of the hurricanes. You could have teams that could come up and bite others. Cambridge and BT, they're both 2-0. North Oconee's at 4-0. Hebron Christian, Prince Avenue, they're both at 3-0. Dodge County and Dublin, they're both at 7-0. All of these things anticipated. Fan and Christian Heritage, I think, is this week as well. So they're both 5-0. That's going to determine a lot that's going to happen in these regions. So keep an eye on your favorite matchups this week.
Any surprises?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, surprises in what sense? Because that's an open-ended question. Like, surprises in the sense of people winning and upsets?
On
or
the GHSF Football Daily for
sure,
upsets.
Right.
Obviously, Richmond Hill over Valdosta.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about that very shortly.
Right.
Pair beat Wayne County 31-21. Clinch County beat Irwin County 34-28. That's too close to call an upset.
Well, and Perry and Ware, that one in one quad A, region being as competitive as it is, I don't know how Perry was a 31-point dog. I really don't.
I know.
And so, you know, once that's really competitive as well. Parkview, I think Parkview and Duluth last week.
27-14.
Came in with a record of 1-6. By the way, shout out to our friends at Banks County. The Leopards.
Hey, Leopards.
Snapped a 13-game losing streak.
Wow.
Beating Providence Christian by 2 scores. So very,
amazing.
Very cool for them. So nicely done up there in Banks County. So nicely done there for them.
All right. Well, let's get to it.
Sure.
Interview number one.
Sure.
The team that took down the mighty Valdosta Wildcats.
Uh-huh.
The other Wildcats.
She's building it up, folks.
Of Richmond Hill. Here's head coach Matt Lazotte. Hey, Coach Lazotte, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Well, we know you're doing great, especially after last week. Taking down Valdosta, being the 23-point underdog, giving them their first loss of the season, score was 35-14. How were you able to pull that off?
I tell you, we've got and y'all have heard me talk about our coaching staff before. We've got a tremendous coaching staff that prepares our players in an elite manner. And then those guys go out there and they perform. We've got a special team this year. We're not really tipping the scale one way or another as far as, you know, guys, big time college prospects, but we've got a lot of guys that have played a lot of ball for us, in a lot of different settings, and they're all very good friends. And so we've got a very special team, right, that really separates us from some probably your average high school team. You know, they're all best friends. They all hang out together. Very tight-knit group that can talk about some hard truths and has really come together cohesion-wise to become a very special group to coach.
And I know that you'll probably end up with about 19 guys for the Make That Kid an Offer question that we'll have a little later on when it comes to this segment. But what you've done there at Richmond Hill, and we've been part and parcel to catching up with you every season, once if not
season there.
Yeah, and we catch up with you, and we've got to see, we've been fortunate enough to be able to witness the growth that you've had there at Richmond Hill over this time. And your administration is not one to back down from a challenge. You and your staff have never been one to back down from a challenge. And you're now to this point where you're a part of the blender now in Region 1-6A, where you've got four teams at 2-1, Camden's at 1-2. What's it been like to build to this point that you have right now on the crest of another couple of things that are going to happen there at Richmond Hill?
Well, it's been a very unique set of this decade has been very unique for everybody that's been a part of this, right? Like, there were some hurdles we had to get over, back in 2015, you know, where there were some local teams that we had to start winning against and hadn't beat and maybe a beat once or twice, but haven't been very competitive, perennially. And we, right as we started to establish ourselves at that level, in our old region, boom, we get bumped up to the highest classification. And then, you know, there's every school that we play in our region is very blue collar. They prepare their guys at an elite level, like I mentioned before, but there's this level of preparation that you have to go in and be competitive. And you know, everything, you have to notice all the small things or else you will be exposed. And it's really, I know it's made me a better coach. I know it's made the coaches on our staff better coaches. But now we're really starting to settle in. Our players know what to expect. They've played in all these different venues, these legendary venues that we go and play these games. And so there's not much that surprises us. We push our guys really hard in the off season, physically to challenge themselves to become, better, prepared to match the physicality of our demands of our region. But I tell you, it's again, we've got great kids at Richmond Hill, and they dive in, they don't miss during the summertime. They show up every single day, and the success that we've had has been because of that approach. You know, we've just got great kids that are willing to embrace and endure. And if you can do those things, it can be real special.
And it's all up from here. What a way to send out your old stadium with that mega monster win. You'll be in a new stadium next season. Tell us the new facilities coming up.
Well, I tell you, it's state of the art. It's pretty nice to say on this show, but we're building the largest high school ever built in the state of Georgia from start to finish.
Woo!
And so,
wow.
It won't be the largest high school, but as far as the building goes, the original building goes, it will be. And our stadium is going to be monstrous. We pack the house here every Friday night. It's standing room only. My wife has a hard time finding seats if she can't get the kids loaded up in time. You know, she got a great parking spot, but the seats are hard to come by. But it won't be a problem at the new stadium. It's going to be great. It's going to be one of the venues in the state of Georgia to play football. And to play against the folks that we play year in, year out with our region. Like, there's no better setup to play high school ball. It's going to be very exciting. But this little old house that we're in right now has seen some. it's seen some high highs and some low lows. I promise you that. But nothing gets better than that one that we had on Friday night. It was special. And you know, if we can pick up a couple more wins, we'd be able to host a little playoff run out there. That'd be sweet too.
Yeah.
So when you look at the administration and what they've done, and they've invested, and you've invested, and you have all of these new things that are coming, you know, it's been really cool to see the evolution of this program. I always like to ask coaches, whether it's on the field or off, where do you think you are right now as a program, even in year 10? 7-1, part of this four-way dance at the top of Region 1-6A. Where do you think you are as a program after all of this time?
Well, I think we're still still growing, right? Like we have not even tapped into the full potential of what this program could be. But you're right. You know, to have the support of our administration, to have the support of our community, it's special. You know, when you look down my principal is standing on the sideline, Vivens Miller with his daughters, right? And like in the middle of a game, giving me a thumbs up, like he can feel it too, you know, and athletic director. Able to embrace my athletic director, Stacy Bennett, who's a tremendous friend of mine, partly why I applied for the job. I knew he worked here, and his best friend growing up was my college roommate, and a big reason why I applied for the job here. And to embrace him after a win like that and say, he was like, man, that's big. And he was like, let's go. And you know, it's like on to the next, you know, like what's the next big thing that we can do here at Richmond Hill? I think the sky's the limit. Now we've got a long way to go, but I think everybody wants to just be competitive, and it's not just football. I mean, I think I'm speaking from an athletic department standpoint. I think everybody wants to go out, wants to be competitive, wants to do this next thing, and try to grow their program and give forth effort. And it's really been special to be a part of it.
For those who don't know Richmond Hill football, who are some of your top leaders that make your team tick?
Well, I tell you, we've got a lot of senior leadership on our team, right? Like a ton of senior leaders. And I think a guy that pops off from the get-go is going to be Caleb Easterling. It's a guy that played hurt almost all last season. Worked really hard in the offseason to prepare his body to be able to go play both ways. You know, when you got kids that play both ways at this level, it's really tough because a lot of guys, they got a true offense, a true defense. And we've got a couple guys that go both ways, and he's one of them. And he's a high performer on offense and a high performer on defense and special teams. He's a big part of our return game. And he's not just a guy that performs well on the field. He's a guy that goes out and does it in the classroom. He's a guy that does it off the field. He's a tremendous leader, voted team captain, and he just does a great job. Our offensive line is a very cohesive unit. You go through the process of when these guys were freshmen. I'll never forget talking to our coaches like, man, these guys embrace being offensive linemen. Like they like getting down and they like getting dirty and they like the collision and they like the aftermath of going a little hard after the whistle, and we knew that at a very young age that these guys were going to be had the potential to be something. And rolling into this senior year, you know, they're the backbone of our team, and you know, we go as they go, and a lot of it has to do with kind of going back to what I was saying before, like they're all best friends, they all hang out, it's very cohesive unit right there. That's even a little bit tighter with the offensive line than the rest of our team. And their special group. We have two linebackers in Lee Johnson and Gabe Bauman that they're best friends. I think maybe back to back years they won the two best friends that they ever had award during spring football. We always have a lot of fun with our spring football awards with giving out stuff. But those guys have been counterparts, side by side, getting after it. And you know, you can demand a lot from them, and they pull the energy from each other out there on the field. And there's a trickle down effect with that. And so, you know, can you feel the excitement about talking about these guys, yeah, right? Like, I mean, I could just go down the list. I could look up on my board right now and look at all the guys that are up there in purple and just say how proud I am of them, regardless of whether they play on the field or off the field. Our senior class is so special. They have been very selfless. They've been the epitome of being a great teammate. And the best part about it is we've got 120 other guys on this team that are able to watch these guys and the example that they've laid. And hopefully they'll try to mimic that as they come through our program.
And they'll never, 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 ever leave each other. Okay.
That's right. That's right. Those two will not. They will not. They're going to be best friends forever now.
All right. So look up at those folks that are in purple on that board. And here's the make that kid an offer question.
Oh, gosh.
I was going to say, I figured there'd be like 19 names that would be put on this.
We only have time for a few, John.
So just off the top of your head, who's not getting the looks that you think they should be getting for whatever reason on the board? Who would qualify for that, make that kid an offer category for you there at the Hill?
Well, I tell you, and Caleb Easterling is one of those guys. And he's got potential to play college football at a couple of different spots. But, man, you know, folks that are waiting on him, it's absurd. It's absurd because he can that dude can play ball. Gabe Bauman's another one that I know that he does everything right. I mean, the guy, I think he did 225 pound bench press on a rep test 32 or 33 times last spring. And he's fast. He's physical. He's a great kid. And it translates on the field too. Like he does everything that you ask. He's a tremendous ball player. Those two guys are going to be special on somebody's roster next year.
Well, one more question for you, Coach, and you wanted a new question, one that you don't get asked often.
Uh-huh.
Best food in Richmond Hill.
The best food in Richmond Hill.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That would personify food there in Bryan County or their food around the hill.
Gosh.
Best local restaurant. So when Hannah, our resident foodie, goes to the hill or she.
Oh, you know, man.
Where is she supposed to go?
I tell you what, we've got a few options, right? But got a lot of great pizza joints in Richmond Hill that you would think. Right? But listen, if you come down to the coast, you got to eat some seafood,
yes.
Okay? So, but you got to visit this venue called Fishtails.
Okay,
it's right on the river, and a tremendous seafood. The setting is awesome. It's right there at a marina, but it's a lot of great food, great action. It's a great place, great spot to eat.
Okay, Fishtails.
Okay, there
it
is.
That's where we're going, John.
Well, as always,
tough test on the road, Coach.
I know. It's like, yeah, what do you do for an encore after beating Valdosta at home? Yeah, we go to Lounge.
Region 1-6A will no longer be in the blender after this Friday.
We're ready. Hey, you know, the best part about it, guys, is this group of guys that are playing, they were all, essentially all of them were playing 2 years ago as sophomores when we went and played at Lounge. So, you know, it's a... It is a tough spot to play, but it's not like we're showing up with a brand new team. So it's going to be fun. We're looking forward to it.
No doubt about it. As always, my friend, great to see you. Great to catch up. Great win on the weekend. We'll keep an eye, obviously, on 1-6A. Good luck this weekend. Be safe on the road.
Thank y'all so much. Build the hill.
All right, I have been told that we are supposed to pause before the introduction of our second guest because Ambassador Jeremy has a point of parliamentary procedure.
Well,
story time.
I want to talk about Fishtails. He mentioned it, so I Googled it. It's Fishtails, T-A-L-E-S.
Oh, like stories.
Okay. Fish, that's like, but it is a restaurant. It's Fishtails at Fort McAllister Marina.
Okay.
And they serve all the great seafood stuff you expect to find down near the Georgia coast. But
yeah, what's on the menu, though?
Caught my eye.
Okay.
Is their world famous hush puppies are served with honey butter.
Oh.
I've never in my life heard of that.
What? I've never heard honey butter being served with hush puppies.
I've heard tartar sauce.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Ketchup.
I grew up. My family has a house on the coast. I have never heard.
But hush puppies with
hush
honey
butter.
Amazing.
Apparently.
Hush puppies in general are amazing.
Yes,
I dunk them in cocktail sauce.
Oh, and that I get. For me, it's either plain, or if that honey butter option is available, I'm all in.
Wow,
I've never heard the honey butter option, but it sounds amazing. And the restaurant just looks incredible. They have, you know, low country boil. They have ahi tuna tacos. They have shrimp and grits, like famous shrimp spaghetti. Come on, we need a road trip.
Does he know it's lunchtime?
Yes,
and we still have a whole rest of the podcast.
And the thing is that he can jet.
Y'all are about to hear my stomach.
The second our interviews start and we have to tape stuff out here. This is when everybody else behind the glass, like Ambassador Jeremy and Jake the Snake and King James, they can all jet. They can just like leave the room and we're stuck doing interviews here.
Oh, man.
So,
get in the car. Well, I'm going to Fishtails.
Should we petition for a care package?
I don't know if we're allowed to do
true.
That.
That's true.
But if they were so inclined to want to send us hush puppies,
tell them the address, John.
It would be...
I wouldn't turn down. Because that's a call to action.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Remember,
yeah,
I can't do call to action.
But you can Google if you would like.
You can Google GPB on the internet and just kind of see where it takes
you. And you know, hey,
follow your heart.
Hey, you know, fishtails
or your stomach.
Yeah, follow your stomach. Fishtails, if you were so inclined, because we cannot do a call to action.
To get on the World Wide Web.
Yeah, so, no, if we were to encourage, visiting the interwebs.
Uh-huh. And if we were hypothetically. If we were to encourage you.
Hypothetically, if we were to just sit there and say, hey, you know, one day if you're kind of just sitting there at the computer.
And you just typed in GPB into the search bar.
You know, like GPB Sports right there.
And just see what came up.
Yeah.
Hypothetically speaking.
Hypothetically.
There might may or may not
perhaps
be an address.
Just maybe. Phone numbers attached, perhaps. You know, we are in a modern age. So just a thought. Man. For our friends at Fishtails, we love what the hill is being built into, especially with the new facility. So Fishtails, if you were to just,
looking forward to it.
Spend some time on the interwebs and see what you can get into.
You know, I also have to say that Coach did mention that there's multiple great pizza places.
You know, maybe if those pizza places had the internet.
Maybe if a few coupons, hypothetically speaking, you know, showed up at the desk. I don't know. Wouldn't turn it down.
I mean, it's just, where did this paper come from? I don't know. I have no idea.
Hey, does Roswell have any good spots to eat?
Let's ask somebody.
Let's ask him.
Yeah, let's ask the head coach of the Roswell Hornets, Chris Pruitt, about what's going on as they get ready for their big region matchup against Gainesville coming up on Football Fridays. Here's his food takes.
Hey, Coach Pruitt, thanks for coming on the podcast. How are you today?
Doing great. How are you guys?
We cannot wait to see you Friday. Before we get into football,
here we
go. I have to ask you a question.
Here we go.
We're talking about food a lot on the podcast today.
Hannah's
I don't know how we got here.
Because you're hungry.
Where's your favorite place to eat in Roswell?
I mean, I think the problem that you have with that question is like, what's the pleasure? Because that would be there's some good stuff. You can also lose all your money or lose some of it. So
no budget.
Oh wow. So if price was no object.
Yeah. If John Nelson's paying, would you eat?
Yeah, there's a spot in downtown Roswell called Little Alley. Oh, yeah. And it's a steakhouse. And I told my wife, I said, I haven't eaten too many places where like I leave and I go, you know what, like if that had to be the last meal, then like I'd be good and content with that.
Really?
Until I ate there. That place is unbelievable.
Wow. You know, I've never had that. My favorite spot. We'll get to it. We'll get to it afterwards.
My favorite spot.
Especially if he's footing the bill, then we can definitely go there.
We're going to Little Alley's. And then John and I will talk about our favorite food after the interview.
Yes.
Okay, Coach, let's get down to it.
Yep.
Coming off a 52-59-42 win over Lanier last week, your running backs, you've got two running backs that are absolutely outstanding. Trey Smith rushed for 195 yards and 3 scores. The Longhorns put up a monster fight, though. That's my key word today. I've said monster fight 3 times on the podcast. How were you guys able to overcome over 400 yards on the ground from them and come out with the win in that one?
Yeah, it was not from a old defensive guy's mind said that was not a great game to be a part of. But it was an interesting game. You know, I felt like we played really well in the first half, and you know, they obviously made some adjustments at halftime, and then we didn't do as well probably to make some adjustments on our end. So it was a good learning experience, and I told somebody, you know, this weekend, you know, we've gotten a ton of guys that have started in game one and they're no longer playing or like they're injured or they were out this week. So we had a lot of kids that were learning under the fire of Friday night, and trying to tackle that running back at Lanier was definitely tough for some of our guys. And you know, it was I was glad that our offense, I think, scored all but 2 times they had the ball. And they did really well. Trey had a really good game running the ball. I think both teams in the second half figured both that we were struggling to throw the ball. And I think that's what you ended up with is both teams just turned and handed it off or handed it to the quarterback and ran for the rest of the second half. So, like I tell our kids, any win is a good win. And, you know, it's a learning experience. And that's why we play 10 games is 10 opportunities to learn and get better.
I was going to ask, you mentioned learning experiences. So what did you learn as a staff coming out of that game, knowing that you had Trey go for 20 for 195 and three, and then, you know, Saquon goes for 12 for 75 on your offensive side of things? What did you learn about yourselves in a shootout like this that you can carry forward?
You know, to be honest, I think it's a lot of what we learned early in the year. You know, I think our non-region schedule and who we played in the non-region really expedited our process of figuring out like who we are and what we can do really well. And, you know, playing Peachtree Ridge, Walton, Buford, and Westlake basically 4 or 5 weeks in a row, you know, you had to figure out what you were good at and what you weren't good at. And that's, again, that's what the non-region's for, to see kind of where we fit, where we are, and see what we're good at and what we're not good at. And, you know, we definitely have a, you know, a couple of things that we like with Trey running the football, and we got a bigger, kind of a bigger, heavier package. You know, we're a little bit different probably than we've been in the years past on offense. At least we're probably more like 2 tight ends, 3 tight ends. We got some bigger body receivers that we'll put in there. So they're technically receivers, but we kind of use them and use their skill set a little bit differently where they can block and do a lot of good things. We rarely are in kind of 4 and 5 wide sets anymore. So it really kind of allowed us to kind of work through some of that stuff. And we've put a big emphasis on, you know, when we have a lead, to control the game, control the time, control possessions. And I felt like our offensive staff and offensive players did a good job of that, you know, Friday. I mean, you know, obviously giving up 400 yards is not what you design, but you know, it was good to give us some time to kind of create some things and hopefully get our guys in order and really teach them what was going wrong. Yeah, it was, you know, obviously, like I said, good win, good way to continue the region run, and you know, see where we're at these next 2 weeks, because we got 2 big games coming up.
7-1, 4-0 in region play, tied at the top with Milton. Gainesville, come into the Hornets' nest. You're in there, you're watching film. What do you see from Gainesville? What are your keys to the game on Friday?
You know, first off, you look at Gainesville and, you know, you watch them play, and I think the biggest thing that jumps out is just they play very, very hard. They have a kind of a relentless effort when they play, and you can tell they're very, very well coached on both sides of the ball on special teams. They have some dynamic players at the skill positions, linebacker positions. You look at them up front and they look exactly like you would expect a top 10 team to look. They're very, very physical on both sides of the ball. You know, and as a defensive guy, you look at it, and anytime that quarterback can run, is obviously, it adds a little bit more worry in your life. And, you know, they do a really good job, and, you know, their defense has played really, really well, minus a couple of times this year. And, you know, just trying to, you know, look at different things. And at this point, you got so much film and so much data. You're just trying to kind of sort through it and see what's relevant still based on who's playing and who's on the field. So, you know, you just try to go through it and see what that data can apply to you, and what we can do and kind of how it fits with what we do offensively and defensively. And obviously find a couple of things that you can try to take advantage of and, you know, move forward. And it turns, as soon as it's 3:30 today, it turns into teach the kids as much as you can, you know, in a short window. Because it comes fast through this time of the year.
So obviously, here's the make that kid an offer question. We get to talk about a lot of the talent that you have on both sides of the ball. Who would qualify for you for that make that kid an offer category, where once again you are pushing the envelope when it comes to winning a region title for the 3rd year in a row, I believe? Who fits into that make that kid an offer category for you that might not be somebody that's going to get that instant spot shadow and that instant attention, but deserves the attention that you think that they deserve from what you've seen this year?
You know, to be honest with you, I think when you watch us play, you know, there's a couple guys that have just played a huge role in what we do this year. You know, when you look at offensively and defensively, two guys that like make impacts full time. You'll find them near the play on defense. You'll find them going blocking to the end of the whistle on offense. You know, we play a couple guys both ways and a couple of different situations. So, you know, when you ask that, the kind of the three guys that came to mind are all seniors. Nile Smith, Nigel Hall, and Grant Cook are kind of three guys that I think, you know, I've said this before about kids and, you know, the recruiting being what it is, you know, sometimes the best compliment I can tell somebody is he is a football player. Like, I don't know what you want to put him at. I don't know where you want to put him, but you're not going to regret having him on the field. You know, Nigel and Nile play kind of our interior D-line, also play some fullback, B-back type things. I think they, if you ask them, they'll tell you that they're fullbacks, even though, you know, we don't necessarily line up with a fullback. You know, and then Grant Cook plays pretty much anywhere on offense. We've worked him in a little bit defensively. He's doing a great job as our punter, you know, and doing some good stuff there. So, I mean, those are the kind of the three guys like immediately that jump out that have contributed throughout the year. You know, we have a group of 22 seniors, you know, there's a ton more, yeah, that I think you'll be able to notice. And, you know, I can't say enough about all the good work both sides of our line of scrimmage have been, you know, during this year, because they've really pushed us both sides of the ball.
So in this region that you're in now in 7-5A, it is another highly competitive group of folks. And, you know, thanks to reclassification, we have one less A, and you're in a region that has just like three sharks in the water. I mean, immediately when you look at it, with Milton Roswell and Gainesville, and then you've got Lanier, who's an up-and-coming program as a part of things. When you look at reclassification and all of this stuff with six region games, with the pedigree that you've been able to establish there at Roswell, how difficult was it for you to get a Peachtree Ridge, a Walton, a Buford, and a Westlake for your non-region schedule? Or do folks back away from playing Roswell because of what you've been able to accomplish?
Yeah, I think you honestly have, you know, there's kind of like two sides to it, right? You know, there's kind of two different thought processes with it. You know, we could play teams close to us and, you know, play some competition, you know, we've played in the years past. You know, I think I left last year after our season and kind of said, I don't think we got tested enough and that we didn't necessarily have enough close games where I felt like at the end of the year we struggled in close games because we hadn't been there all season. You know, we play teams that had been in those situations and they absolutely, you know, took advantage of it at the end. So honestly, my goal this year was to find the best programs I can find, regardless of how many. You know, we looked out of state, we looked in state, we looked South Georgia, North Georgia, Central Georgia, we looked everywhere. And I think what I found was there's a lot of teams that, you know, there's a kind of a group. You have a lot of teams that, you know, nobody really wants to play. And we were kind of all in that boat and we said, well, why don't we just play together, you know, play against each other. You know, we both want good games. It doesn't necessarily matter where it is or how, but we need to play good people. And, you know, if we could keep it in state, obviously that helps. And, you know, to be honest with you, probably the best thing that happened to us was Buford absolutely destroyed us earlier this year. We turned it over four times and, we figured out another way to try to turn it over four times and lose. So, you know, it was a good thing for us, I think, cause it refocused a lot of our practice and a lot of our attention to detail. And, you know, even the games that we won, I felt like we left there saying, you know, we could be better and here's what we can do. And here's things that we need to improve. So, to me, like the non-region schedule, is important for us. Wherever we have to go, we need to go find somewhere to play. And, you know, I feel like it paid off last week, you know, when we played on the road, the Lanier map on a map, it doesn't look like it's too far away, but when you try to leave and go from here to Sugar Hill on 5 o'clock on a Friday, it's not as easy as it looks. And, you know, we had to do that early in the year playing Peachtree Ridge, borders Lanier. Very similar time frames to get over there. And again, I thought that prepared us a little bit better. We started off really well this Friday. So that's all the non-region is to me, is a preparation for the rest of the year. And we preach that 15 game schedule and, you know, you may have to take your lumps in the first 10 so you can really work on getting those last five done. And finish where you want to at the end of the year.
One of your kids drew you a picture back there that said, "Don't lose." Was that after the Buford game?
Yeah, no, that was a couple years ago. Yeah, that's the advice every week from my 7-year-old. Don't lose.
I didn't know if that was after the Buford game or not. Coach, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. We can't wait for Friday. It's going to be another great one. So thank you again for your time, and we're only 4 days away.
I know.
Well, thank you guys, and I appreciate you having me on. And I'll be expecting that Lil Alley gift card here anytime now.
John, you got to fork it up, baby.
Yeah, I see where this is going. It's like, Chris, for some reason.
Oh, I think you're cutting off.
I'll have a good one.
All right, be good.
Thanks, Coach. Have you seen the videos on social media of the Gainesville new facilities?
Oh, they're insane.
It's mind-boggling. Like, that's a high school.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen them, go check it out. I know the game's at the Hornets Nest this week, but wow, Gainesville facilities are incredible. It looks like a college.
Well, and this isn't the first step, first location where we've seen these kinds of things with the stadium going on at Buford, mid-8 figures when it comes to...
And now Richmond Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's amazing.
Fantastic.
The investment in these kids. Okay.
Yes.
Most important topic of the day.
Yes.
Food.
Yeah.
My favorite restaurant in the Metro Atlanta area.
Metro Atlanta.
Because... like I said, we have property on the coast, St. Simons. That is a whole nother thing. So many restaurants down there I can shout out. But in the Metro Atlanta area where we live, Max Steakhouse is the best spot if y'all have not tried it out. They also have an Oyster House. Now they're opening an Italian restaurant, which I will be first in line. So Max.
As you
Max,
should.
Max, that took over the old Schilling's Italian restaurant in downtown Marietta.
Okay.
Run, don't walk.
Okay. Well, for me, it is, as a child of DeKalb County, pizza place, Moe's Pizza, at the corner of Briarcliff and Claremont. I've been going to that restaurant so long, I remember when it was an original Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurant. Because you know how, like, the old Kentucky Fried Chickens, they have the floor that was for every restaurant. They still have that old Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurant floor.
Do you have a signed picture of yourself on the wall?
I do not.
No, yes, you do.
I don't.
Yes, you do. I don't believe you.
No, they look at me like, who are you?
I don't believe you.
Grew up on the Monday special, and I have corrupted the boss to their pizza as well.
Oh,
and then if
amazing.
You get into Italian, it's obviously Bambinelli's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
DeKalb County's finest. Bambinelli's multiple places there.
So,
Canvas, the other side of the glass for their restaurants while I try and figure out how everybody did last week.
Oh, should we do this instead of the whip around? This is way more fun.
Says
Jeremy,
the individual.
Since you have the microphone.
There I am. Yes. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah,
sure. We can do
instead.
Why not both?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
All
dos.
The time in the world.
We can do both. I'll give you mine. It's, I miss the pizza farm in Rockmart. And it's still there.
Wow.
Like, you can still go and it's still there. It's just, I miss it because I don't live up in Rome anymore. But yeah, we would go. My high school girlfriend and her family, we would all go to the pizza farm in Rockmart. It was so good. And the thing about the pizza farm, that if you're not from that area, you don't know that the pizza farm is famous for their steaks.
Oh.
Yes. Pizza's fantastic. Sounds are great. But the steaks, that's what you go to the pizza farm for.
All right. Thank you, Jeremy, for your contribution to the podcast.
Jake the Snake. Restaurants. Food. Do you eat?
Right. Hello.
Do you eat, first off?
Check. Whoa, excuse me. Sorry, I do eat, yes. I love
Thank
to eat.
Thank goodness.
I love to eat at least 3 times a day.
There you go.
And some snacks in between.
See? Man after my own heart.
And what's the question? I'm sorry.
Favorite restaurant.
Oh, geez. I mean, what comes to mind immediately, because I was there last night, is there's a place in Atlanta called The Earl, which is a nice little dive bar. They got great food, and I've seen a lot of great shows there. I played shows there myself. That is not necessarily the best, but it was the first one I thought of.
No, we did not. We did not know this.
The Earl is a good place.
No. Not about the Earl specifically.
Oh.
About you playing at the Earl, sir.
Oh, that's not something I talk about too much, but I am a musician, and I've played at the Earl a few times.
What?
It's a good place.
What position do you play in your band, sir?
I, I play keyboard and sing. Wow. And I also record all the music on my own albums, and you can find that online if you look up Jake Cook.
So why is your segment not a singing segment on this podcast at the end?
He's got to save his pipes. I mean,
I don't know why my segment is not a singing segment.
That's fantastic.
Beautiful. You got like a 90s vibe there.
He's singing Acapulco. Beautiful. He's singing Acapulco on the show. Okay.
And that's just off the dome.
Yes. Okay, beautiful. So wins and losses last week.
Wait, we didn't ask James.
James, favorite restaurant? King James, favorite restaurant?
So I tend to like a lot of different things, so it's kind of hard to pick one. One thing that comes to mind, though, is if you're into Asian fare, know, Buford Highway.
Yes.
There's this restaurant called Pho Da Loi on Buford Highway.
Okay.
Best pho in town, I think.
Wait, I think so, I've been there.
Yeah. So if you're in the pho, vermicelli bowls, they have great food.
Yes, on Buford Highway. I have been there with a friend.
The motor mile on Buford Highway is unmistakable.
Buford Highway is great.
Oh,
my
gosh.
I still think about that meal to this day. Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like a little hidden gem.
Well, yeah. Well, most of the restaurants in the motor mile on Buford Highway are. Okay. Let's see. So Ambassador Jeremy's Darlington beat Model last week 31-0.
Woohoo!
Our web game of the week involved both Commander Sandy and myself.
Yes.
Commander Sandy got the win 31-0 as Decatur beat Lakeside Atlanta.
John called it beautifully.
Thank you. Yes. Northeast beat Central Macon 39-0. Parkview, one of the big upsets of the week, 27-14 winners over Duluth. So that's where we are with stuff that happened last week.
Flag football has begun.
Yes.
So make sure you are watching our games on gpb.org/sports, GPB Sports app. And as always, download the app so you can take our game with you on the go.
Yes. So the games this week, it is Gainesville and Roswell over the air. GPB, gpb.org, and the GPB Sports app. 7:30 airtime. Kick off about 7:36. Web game Manchester at Mount Zion Carroll. It's a big single A game that involves one of the top-ranked teams in single A and region standings and points and math and all those kinds of things. It'll be our first visit to Mount Zion Carroll. Looking forward to that. Yep. And to answer your question, 20 regions can have their region champs figured out if things go a certain way, one way or the other, on Friday night. 20-0.
We're going to need you to have all of those scores ready to go next Monday, John.
Figured you would.
All right, guys, that's a podcast.
That is a podcast. So, as always, thanks for dropping by here on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. For Hannah, for Jake the Snake, for Ambassador Jeremy, for Commander Sandy, and for King James, I'm just John. Thanks for dropping by. Remember, games over the air, on the web, on the GPB Sports app this Friday. Still got a couple weeks left in region play, but it is getting hot, heavy, and serious. For everybody here at GPB, thanks for dropping by. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy the game.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.